Hey, welcome back, everyone. Wow, a lot going on, and one of the biggest things being the end of G20 just wrapped up. And they're rolling out, funny enough, the Agenda 2030. And I'm going to go over that today because I think a lot of people, when we hear G20, we think it's like a gathering of world leaders. But for some reason, Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum was there and gave a speech. Bill Gates was there. These are not elected leaders. What the heck were they doing there? And if you read the White House announcement on what they decided on, it's a very long list, and I'm going to go over a lot of it with you today. If you read the White House list, it's all backing the United Nations Social Development Goals, the SDGs, which are, again, you know, part of Agenda 2030. I've only seen a bit of coverage going around the internet on just a few points with that. One of the big ones being they want to make Americans pay reparations to third world countries because of global warming. And that is already going through. But in my opinion, that's like one of the least bad things that they're trying to do right now. And I'll go over the White House announcement with you all as well. Also, folks, big update. We've been talking about it for a while, and the hour is now upon us. The Federal Reserve is now launching a digital dollar, and they're going to be doing the trials. The first program is through the Federal Reserve of New York. I want to explain to you exactly what they're doing, what we know at least so far, what model they're using, and what this means for us. So it's going to be an interesting episode today. Stick around for it. Also, a lot of good stuff in line this week, so don't miss tomorrow's episode as well. I want to go over what's happening in Arizona with Kerry Lake, but that's a pretty in-depth piece, so I'll do more on that tomorrow. And then I want to explain also Trump just basically saying he's not going to cooperate with the Biden administration special counsel. That'll probably be Wednesday. I'll do something more in-depth on that. So it's going to be a great week. I'll be sure to be here. That said, folks, those of you on YouTube, Rumble, we will jump over exclusively to Epic TV after about 25 minutes or so. So be sure to join us there. Again, I do an hour and a half show. All right, folks, that said, let's jump into the first story. Let's talk about the digital dollar. Now, let me show you one story here. You might have seen this one. This was the one going around mostly. It's Reuters. And it says, banking giants and New York Fed start 12-week digital dollar plot. It's a three-month program. And they're saying, global banking giants are starting a 12-week digital dollar pilot with the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. The participants announced on Tuesday, Citigroup Inc., HSBC Holdings, MasterCard, and Wells Fargo are among the financial companies participating in the experiment alongside the New York Fed's Innovation Center, they said in a statement. The project, which is called the Regulated Liability Network. So make sure you remember that word because this is what they're referring to. If you see the word, the phrase, Regulated Liability Network, what they're talking about is a digital currency, a CBDC, a centralized bank digital currency. That's what it is. Again, the phrase, the thing they have for it now is, again, Regulated Liability Network. That's the legalese word for it. And they say it will be conducted in a test environment and use simulated data, the New York Fed said. Again, maybe it's all simulated data in the long run if it's all digital. But anyways, it says the pilot will test how bank giants using digital dollar tokens in a common database can help speed up payments. Now, again, what we're watching right now is the rolling out of a CBDC. The Chinese Communist Party kind of set the model for this, and the rollout is actually following the same model the Chinese Communist Party used to launch theirs, the digital yuan. Let me show you a bit on how the CCP did theirs, because, again, they're rolling it out in one place first, and they're testing it, and they're going to go from there on how they expand it. The Chinese Communist Party actually started theirs in just one big, you know, one of the major cities, and they started slowly expanding to other cities as well. Now, let me show you this. This is CoinDesk, and CoinDesk is saying China to extend CBDC trial. This is in September. CBDC trial to most populous province, Guangdong, and three others, according to report. And what they said is that China's central bank is to extend the trial of its ECNY, its electronic Chinese currency, digital currency, to four major provinces, including Guangdong, the most populous. The South China Morning Post reported on Tuesday. It says the People's Bank of China, well, because that's the one running the digital currency for them, right? It says the People's Bank of China will also add Jiangsu, Hebei, Sichuan, and Sichuan to the trial. Deputy Governor Fan Yifei said in a financial forum on Monday, according to the SM, this news outlet, and it says no timetable was offered for the expansion. Yifei said it would happen at a proper time. Trials in the country's central bank digital currency have been taking place over the past 2 years. They have generally been citywide and taken the form of lotteries in which larger numbers of citizens win relatively small denominations of the currency. In other words, they're giving it away in China to an extent to award people it. They're making it something people want. It's an interesting model. How do you make people desire something that they don't want? Well, you make it an award, right? You give it to them as an award. You make them compete for it. And so people are joining this lottery. You get these tokens. It's an award. People are jealous of you in China. And, of course, more people want it because of that. Then it's something desirable and something people will try to get. Once they can make people try to get it, they can start making it the standard currency. That's the model they're using in China. It says, as of October last year, also merchants are encouraged to accept payments in that as well, the CBDC, in order to try to make it, well, be adopted. One of the big problems the CCP had was people were desperately trying to avoid using it when they first launched it. And so they need to make it normalized. They need to make it normal for people to use. Now, this is important because you should watch on how they try to do that here as well. You should pay attention to the model they're using there because it looks like they're going to be using something very similar in the United States and also a few other countries, which I'll detail in a bit. It's going global, folks. Now, it says as of October last year, around 140 million people had opened ECNY wallets, these Chinese digital currency wallets. In transactions worth 62 billion yuan, or about $9 billion, were carried out. The central banks and governments of almost every major economy around the world have at least demonstrated intent to explore the development of a CBDC, partly in response to the rise of cryptocurrencies. China's plans are significantly the most advanced, while South Korea's and Sweden's have also moved into a testing phase in the past year. Now, that being said, There's a battle taking place right now in the realm of CBDCs, centralized banking digital currency. Basically, the current state of things is not so much on whether or not they're going to do it. They're going to try to do it, including right here in the United States. They're trying to do it, and frankly, they're rolling out the testing phase for it. The big question is, what standards do they adopt? And also, it's important to note, the Chinese Communist Party wants its standard to be the global standard. The Chinese Communist Party has created the global standards on CBDCs, and soon after launching their own digital currency, they started shopping this around to every centralized bank in the world. That being said, even though they are launching the trial phase in the United States, it has to go through Congress. They can't just launch it on a whim, meaning that there's still a chance that this can be blocked, this can be stopped in the United States if our representatives choose to, well, vote against it. But basically, they're saying that it's going to be hard for them to adopt the Chinese Communist Party's model. Keep in mind the sliding scale with these things. Maybe at first it won't be that bad, but they will very likely over time adopt more authoritarian standards with it, as they say that there's abuse taking place, we need to expand services. I'll get into that in a bit. First, though, folks, we do have a sponsor today. Today's episode is brought to you by Secure. Over 155 million Americans are affected by data leaks in 2020. The average American had their personal data stolen about four times over the year. People get anxious because they can't protect their online data or activity. But now there's a new email and messenger app called Secure. That's S-E-K-U-R. That can give privacy and security for sending emails and messages. Secure's server and data center are hosted in Switzerland, which has the strictest data privacy laws in the world. Secure does not rely on big tech companies like Amazon, Google, or Microsoft, which also means it's not subject to the Intrusive Cloud Act. Secure does not ask for your phone number, mine your data, or upload your contacts. It functions by adding people you know, then adding their secure numbers. You can also chat with non-secure users by sending them an invite. Now, it's only $5 for the messenger, $7 for the email, or $10 for the email and messenger package. You can visit secure.com today for a free 7-day trial, or you can text Joshua, or you can use the promo code Joshua to get 25% off. And folks, big thanks out to Secure for sponsoring today's episode. Now, let's continue on this. Now, I want to talk a bit about the kind of global battle taking place over the CBDC standards, because this is going to determine kind of what they try to do in the United States and what they will do in places like Europe. Now, I believe it's Sweden is actually trying to launch their own. India is launching their own. Japan is launching their own. You have a lot of countries looking into this. Now, for those of you not quite familiar with CBDCs, let me explain to you why this is controversial. Imagine, well, this is how it works in China. Every single transaction you make is monitored. The Chinese Communist Party watches every single thing you buy. If the CCP does not want you buying something, they can cancel that purchase. If they decide that people can't buy gas this week, for example, you can't buy gas. If they decide people can't buy rice this week, you can't buy rice. And the scary thing is aside from the government being able to regulate purchases, essentially from the top level, because this is under the centralized government-controlled bank in China, aside from the government being able to regulate what you can or can't buy on a mass level, they can also do it on a tailored individual level. That's where you get into the real concern, where this is tied to your social credit status. In China, they have the social credit system. Every single thing you do is monitored. Every friend you have, every contact you make, everywhere you go, everything you do, your beliefs, your political stance, everything, your online activity, your purchases, every single thing about you is monitored. Now, that is used to create a profile of you, and you get a rating. Are you a good citizen or are you a bad citizen? If you're a good citizen, you can do things like rent bikes, and they have a specialized dating apps you can use, and there's all kinds of, you know, unique programs for the good citizens. And if you're a bad citizen, if you get a low social credit score, that means you are restricted. You can't use bikes, you can't maybe hail a taxi. You are restricted from participating in basic society. The concern is that the CCP, well, it's already doing this to an extent, can use this as well with the centralized banking digital currency. If, for example, you're a house Christian, if you don't follow the CCP's altered version of Christianity, you're going to be on the naughty list. If you're a Falun Gong practitioner, or if you believe in democracy, you're on the naughty list. And basically what that could mean is that if you're on the naughty list, you can't buy anything. You can't buy food, hypothetically speaking. You can't buy a house. You can't, you know, hail a taxi. You are canceled from society. Now, that being said, what you're looking at in the United States is already heading in a similar direction. We saw PayPal, for example, try to roll out something very much like this, where PayPal wanted to target people for spreading disinformation. If you spread disinformation, PayPal, at least in the promo thing they were sending out, wanted to give people $2,500 fines. They wanted to not only cancel you, but charge you money for saying things they don't like. If you look at PayPal currently, they still maintain some of that if you read the terms of service. For example, if you try to buy a firearm using a PayPal account, they will fine you. They will charge you money. They were doing the same thing under the label of racism. If you're saying what they claim are racist comments or white supremacist, I don't know how they phrase it. You see this as well happening with other banking services, Bank of America and so on. These other banking services have canceled people for various reasons. I've said it before and I'll say it again. The gulags of this new century, you know, these Soviet concentration camps of this new century, will not look like the frozen prisons of Siberia. The gulags of this new century are going to look like you being part of society, but denied access to it. They can completely deny you access to everything if this becomes a reality. And this is what they are currently in the process of doing. Now, that being said, there is a battle for the model that's being adopted. And this is where the kind of it gets important. We're talking about with what the CCP is doing and how the U.S. is trying to do allegedly something a little different. Let me show you this. Alexa Blockchain. They said China leads the way on global standards for CBDC. It says China leads the way on global standards for centralized bank digital currencies by proposing a set of global rules for CBDC. China proposed a set of global rules for CBDC on Thursday, and from how they can be used around the world to highly sensitive issues such as monitoring and information sharing. Now, why does this matter? Okay, the issue with a CBDC is that it's trying to replace the normal currency we have. We already have a deformed currency. The current currency being used in most parts of the world is deranged. It is a perverse form of currency. The common form of currency we have is what you call a fiat currency, F-I-A-T. Essentially, it means you have a useless piece of paper which is used to represent a set amount of value or something like that. The problem with that is, well, it's managed mostly by centralized banks, which can control the value of this. If you look at the Federal Reserve, for example, they can even bail out the banks when banks give risky loans, and then they, pass on the cost of that to you by sucking out the value of your currency through the use of inflation. In other words, they print more money. As they print more money, the value of the dollar in your pocket gets taken away. They are stealing your money through the use of inflation. And because the money you have in your pocket is not real money, it's not the gold standard, you don't have gold or silver coins in your pocket or copper, you have a piece of paper that is a Federal Reserve note that is supposed to represent a set value that they determine, and a set value that they can actually reduce while maintaining the surface appearance of the value it states on the bill, even though every 10 years they may double the amount of inflation. Or double the amount of money in circulation, meaning actually the tangible value of that dollar in your pocket is cut by half every 10 years or so. It's a deranged form of currency. It is not normal. That being said, in order to have this become the standard, they had to have pretty much the whole world follow the model of it. If that were not the case, it could have been that, you're going to have maybe the United States is using the gold standard and Europe is on fiat currency. The issue you'd have is that if Americans are trading gold, essentially, for useless pieces of paper, of course, they would use their useless pieces of paper just to buy all the gold. It'd be very easy to do. They could do things, even though technically they'd still buy gold. They could manipulate the currency through the differences within the currency. And the problem they have now is if they want to roll out the digital currencies, they need to also get rid of paper money. They need to eliminate the ability of people to trade individually. Now, that being said, what they also need is a system that helps interlink the global digital currencies so that people, one, cannot escape the digital currencies, and two, so that people can trade internationally. That's what they're in the process of doing. And the current battle is deciding what that global standard is. Let me show you more on this. Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. They said this in 2021. They said Beijing's global ambitions for central bank digital currencies are growing clearer. It says as central banks around the world contemplate the risks and benefits of issuing central bank digital currencies, again, CBDCs, Beijing is likely to leverage frustrations with the inefficiencies of existing cross-border payment channels to strengthen support for its vision of lower-cost alternatives built upon CBDCs. Now, it states, if realized, such arrangements could allow Chinese firms and their trading partners to reduce usage of the U.S. dollar for cross-border transactions and circumvent payment channels that the U.S. government can shut off to entities it sanctions for national security reasons. In other words, there's two things taking place. One is the rolling out of CBDCs and everything that entails, which we've been talking about. The other thing is that the Chinese Communist Party is also using this to challenge the dominance of the U.S. dollar. If The US dollar is challenged as the world reserve currency, or at the very least, the one that is essentially the standard for everybody to use, and there's no alternative. If that is disrupted, it means that the US will have no way to assure international order. The United States will lose its ability to sanction. Because one of the main ways that sanctions work is if a country decides to just, you know, roll into Tiananmen Square with tanks and just massacre, you know, civilians or protesters, the U.S. can sanction them for it. If Russia decides to nuke, you know, Ukraine, the U.S. can sanction them. If North Korea tries to threaten nuclear attack, the U.S. can sanction them. And what does that mean? It means the United States has a way of resolving international conflicts without going to war. We don't have to invade them. We don't have to bomb them. We can punish them in ways that tries to maintain some standard of global order, some standard of human rights, and holding them accountable without the need to go to war. If the U.S. loses that, it means that human rights around the world is over. Any standard, any kind of standard to hold other countries accountable for the abuse of their own citizens is gone. The only option, if that happens, would be invasion. The U.S., the only way it could maintain what we call the Pax Americana, the peace under America, would be war. That would be the end of it. Now, that being said, you could argue the U.S. has already kind of drifted a bit far from what it used to represent, unfortunately. But I'll tell you, it's still better than the alternative. It's still better than what the world would be otherwise. I've said this before, that the United States is an anomaly on the story of the world. It is an anomaly in the books of history, because it set forth this idea that people are ingrained with inalienable rights granted to them by God, and that government is instituted among men to protect those rights. The role of government, in other words, according to the U.S. interpretation of law and the U.S. interpretation of the role of power, is that people have rights. There are human rights. That was not the understanding in the course of almost all of human history. That was not how things ever were in almost any part of the world. The, you know, traditional view of power was typically might makes right, strong rule by force. And, you know, of course, the idea that the government couldn't just genocide large groups of people if they felt like it, or enslave countries, was just the way of doing things. The United States, even though it took a while to realize its original vision, really established these new understandings of what world power should look like. That system is going to be over if this takes place. Just letting you know, like, what's on the line with this. Now, it says further in that China's state-sponsored digital currency, the digital renminbi, or ECNY, is already being designed to achieve these ends. The country's central bank, the People's Bank of China, state-run bank, right, stated in a July 2021 white paper that the digital renminbi is ready for cross-border use. In other words, ready to be used in other countries outside of China. Yet for Beijing's grandest ambitions for its state-sponsored digital currency to be realized, the digital renminbi must be interoperable with the CBDCs of other countries. What I was just saying. If you're going to have a CBDC, a centralized bank digital currency, and if it's going to work internationally, it needs to integrate. There needs to be one common standard around the entire world. The battle taking place right now is on that one, what that one standard will be. It says, hence, the People's Bank of China is supporting the development of global CBDC standards. They are trying to control what that standard is. And it says, in working with other monetary authorities to launch a multi-CBDC arrangement. Any such arrangement would likely face governance obstacles, but if successful, a multi-CBDC arrangement could help Beijing reduce the power of U.S. sanctions and use of the U.S. dollar in cross-border business transactions. Which brings us to the conflict the U.S. is also facing. The U.S. is in a funny position. The United States has a choice now. Do they resist this? Do they try to stop it somehow? Remember, the Chinese Communist Party has its own kind of reserve bank meant to replace the U.S.-led, you know, banking system as well. The CCP is challenging the U.S. dollar on many fronts. It's not working well for them currently. But if other countries believe that this is the next technology, this is the next thing to adopt, and if you're a businessman or you run a, you know, maybe you're a corrupt politician or something like that, and you need to work with the CCP, you can only work through their digital currency. If they make that the standard, you're going to get paid in CBDC. That's going to be the payment you have. And your money is going to essentially be useless outside of China until a global standard is adopted, meaning there's a lot of pressure. There's lobbying pressure coming at the government, coming at the U.S. government and other governments in the world to adopt some kind of standard from the business community, from the big corporations, from the academics, from the corrupt politicians. They're getting pressure to adopt this type of standard so it can be interoperable with the CCP standard. The other thing is, aside from that, they're also facing the reality that the CCP has a slogan. It says, "Surpass you at the turning point." And let me explain briefly what that means. The Chinese Communist Party has a goal of dominating the world. The documentary I've done just recently, which I'll show you the trailer for in a bit, which is called The Final War, details the CCP's plans for this. The CCP talks about the need to destroy the United States as part of the realization of that goal. The problem they have when it comes to economic developments with technology, because they basically say, even though they manufacture everything, even though they're the manufacturing hub of most of the world, they don't have the high technology. They can't get out of the, you know, cheap labor economy model. They want to have the U.S. model where they develop the technology, they run the businesses, they are the leaders, and other countries are the poor laborers who slave away, you know, 16 hours a day in a factory. They want other countries to be what they have become. And they want what the U.S. has, which is they're the business owners. They're the ones who own the technology. The problem they're facing is that it's very hard to compete with existing technologies. If, for example, you have a smartphone in your pocket and you've come to trust a certain brand, and that brand is already well developed enough where they have good supply chains and so on, and they can reduce the price quite a bit, it's very hard to compete with them. It's very difficult to compete with a new product in an established market unless you innovate, unless you do something different. That's where the phrase "surpass you at the turning point" comes in. The idea is this: while it's hard to compete in an existing market, there are future markets, future technologies, future systems, and it's at those points where you can surpass your adversaries. For the CCP, CBDC is the next turning point. CBDC, centralized banking digital currencies, is the next phase on which they can compete with the U.S. dollar. And so, rather than try to compete directly by trying to make the yuan or renminbi, you know, the world reserve currency, they want to create a new technology, a new standard that they run, and they want that to be the turning point which they use to surpass the United States and overtake it. The U.S. understands that. And so what does the U.S. do? Do we keep this older form of currency, or do we develop a new one to try to prevent that from happening? That's the conflict right now. My personal hope is that they keep the U.S. dollar and they just trash the digital currency and say this is totalitarianism to the next level. This is beyond anything Orwell could have imagined. This is tyranny to the level that it dictates the contents of your wallet. This is something that can dictate basic quality of life and should be considered a human rights abuse, not a currency. Because really it's being used as a tool for human rights abuse. That's my personal opinion on it. I want to go deeper into this, folks. Then, of course, I want to go into what just happened at G20, because they're not saying it on the, well, they are kind of saying it. media are not reporting it, let's put it that way. But if you read their documents, actually governments, including the White House, are saying what they just rolled out at G20 is the rolling out of Agenda 2030, the United Nations Agenda 2030 on a global level. And frankly, I've only seen bits and pieces of reporting detailing what they actually have agreed upon. It's concerning. It's deeply, deeply concerning, and I haven't seen any news articles breaking the whole thing down. So I want to, after the break, we'll I want to talk a bit more about CBDCs. Then I want to go into that and show you exactly what the White House just agreed to with the United Nations. A lot of stuff, folks, and it's really stuff that's important to know about. First, so let me show you a trailer. Again, I have my new documentary out called The Final War. Be sure to watch it. Check it out. It's on Epic TV. Let me show you the trailer now.
The greatest threat facing the United States is the CCP.
The Epic Times investigation team had studied the CCP for years, but what we uncovered was yielding evidence beyond our imagination.
With Chairman Mao, with the Prime Minister, our talks have been characterized by frankness.
The Clinton administration said, oh, don't worry about it. This will be a poison pill for China.
China's strategic goal is to make sure that the U.S. has four enemies, and one of them must be a terrorist group.
We are giving of our life's blood so that the Chinese Communist Party can survive and thrive.
Again, folks, that's The Final War. It's on Epic TV. If you haven't seen it, please watch it. And if you've watched it, please share it. Help us get the word out because, honestly, it's, again, mostly grassroots. If you're wondering how I tend to do so many documentaries, it's because I tend to work on like four or five simultaneously. So I have more in the works as we speak. That said, folks, let's jump over to Epic TV exclusively. I will see you there. Again, I do an hour and a half show, so please come join us. Let's jump over now. Thank you for being here, folks. Those of you curious as well, I'm drinking actually Taiwanese oolong tea today. Wonderful stuff, actually.